Good morning. This is Sunday, September 7th, 2014. Oh, around about 10:30 a.m. here in North Carolina, USA. And today's talk, I'm afraid, is not going to be very popular, because it's going to go against the grain of popular opinion. Now, Joel, in his order of books that you should read, stated that after you've read Living the Infinite Way and Practicing the Presence and the Art of Meditation, you can move on to the Art of Spiritual Healing. And that's what we're doing today. We're going to look at some things that are perhaps distasteful. Nevertheless, they need to be seen. We're looking at the chapter 3, One Power. And I almost feel like if you haven't read it and don't have it, like I should just read the chapter to you because there's so much in it. But I'm not going to do that. I'll just read parts of it. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since we've made a talk, and some things have happened world-wise that has drawn the attention of everybody, pretty much. And of course, I refer to that outfit known as ISIS or ISIL, and the two beheadings and promise of more beheadings. The headlines call it barbaric and brutal. They use words like that. Now, if you've been following it, perhaps you've been caught up in the entire drama. Here you have a little handful of people in Syria and Iraq, and the superpower, the last remaining superpower, the United States, together with Great Britain, trying to come up with a plan to defeat this little group of radical individuals. And because of the internet, they can put such things as beheadings on there and we can all watch them. So what do we do about that? Is there anything that we can do about that, you and I and anyone else interested in a solution? The Master being Christ Jesus, the one who proved there is no death, that's what he mastered. He mastered overcoming the world. That Master told us very bluntly, very outright, he said, you must pray for your enemies. For what good is it if you pray for your friends and those people you love? No, you must learn to pray for your enemies, for those who persecute you. And so I ask you, each one of you listening to this, over this last 2 or 3 weeks, did you sit down and pray for these so-called enemies? Because I did. That was what I was commanded to do by my Master. And I followed his suggestion. I sat down not to pray for the human beings acting out all these little dramas, but to pray that, well, right where that appears to be God is. And so I got still, got quiet with that recognition and realization until I felt that stirring. And in this chapter, One Power, that's what we're told to do about these situations. Have you done it? Did you practice what was told? Did you pray for your enemy this week, or last week, or the week before? No? Well, maybe it's about time you started. Maybe it's about time we all started. Anyway, this chapter, chapter 3 in The Art of Spiritual Healing, is called One Power. I would like to change that name to One Universe. One Spiritual Universe. Now let's get into this chapter. Bear in mind, this is what we should be practicing when we are confronted with these appearances of error and barbarianism and brutality on the news. When they come to our attention, this chapter is what you should and I should be practicing. This is how we pray for our enemies. So listen up. To understand the nature of God is to understand the basic principle of spiritual healing. Now, remember, I'm changing the name of this chapter to One Universe. Is it the nature of God to heal disease? Do you really believe that? If God is all-powerful and all-loving, why did he not heal it yesterday? Why is he waiting for today? And why is he not doing it today? Most of the people in the world believe that God works through doctors to heal them. But, according to statistics, God was not doing too satisfactory a job of that before this century, was he? 100 years ago, people were dying daily of diseases which today can be healed in 24 hours. Why? Did God want them to die, but not us? Is God a respecter of persons? God never has had pleasure in our dying. God never will have pleasure in our dying. And furthermore, God has never been responsible for our dying. People died because medical science had not advanced to the stage where the doctors knew enough to keep them alive. When you think of such things, the question inevitably arises, does God have anything to do with the person being diseased? What does God have to do with healing a person? There must be another principle involved in healing. What is it? And there you have the whole question. There must be something else happening here where I'm seeing this. What is it? So if you're looking to find a way to practice the right meditation, in which God's presence will flow into you and heal your problem or dissolve it, you're praying amiss. You're looking amiss. He says right here, God has nothing to do with that. God has nothing to do with healing you. There is another principle involved. If you're thinking that if you can just behave correctly, if you can be a good little girl, a good little boy, dot all your I's and cross all your T's, never go to bed with anger in your heart, and all that, then you will please God and he'll heal you. Well, no, there must be another principle involved. What is it? Okay? When I see these things going on in the news, it pushes me inside of myself, and I say, what am I looking at? What's the answer? Why is this? Why am I seeing this? Where is the answer? Where's God in all this? And it makes me ask myself these questions, and I go round and round with it until I come up with the same thing he did. There must be a principle. What is it? And he says that principle is revealed through an understanding of the nature of God and the nature of that which you are dealing. When you understand God to be infinite love, infinite wisdom, and infinite good, you will know that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Disease and inharmony and brutality and fear and lack and limitation, disease is man-created. And only through man's developed spiritual consciousness will it be eradicated. If you can grasp the significance and truth of that statement, you will realize, well, then the development of this spiritual consciousness is my responsibility, and you will be correct. Through prayer, through contemplation, through meditation, let the nature of God be revealed. Discover for yourself, God has never empowered a disease to kill or destroy. There is only one power, and that one is God. Remember, I'm changing this from one power to one universe. So we can substitute, there is only one universe, and that one is God. The realization of God as one power, one universe, does not mean that God is a power over something. See, that's where we run into trouble. We're approaching this principle of one power, one universe, and we're trying to get God to act on this world. We're hoping somehow God will transform this world into a spiritual universe. That's not the principle. Listen for the principle if you want to know the truth, which will set you free. The belief that God is a power over something stems from our interpretation of the word power. God is power, that is true, but in order to understand God as power, we have to have a different concept. The word itself connotes something which can be used. But is God that kind of power? Now listen to this little paragraph right here. It's awesome. One power means what it says, one power. And it leaves no room for any other powers over which that one power is to be exercised or applied. God never can be used, and yet, God is power. In fact, God is not only power, but the only power in this spiritual universe. Now see, Joel, he's probably giving a talk here, which has been rearranged into book form by Lorraine Sinkler. And as he's standing before the people talking, he's standing in and in complete realization of this spiritual universe. He's standing in the realization that there is one spiritual universe. And so it's easy for him to say what he's seeing. God is not only power, but the only power in this spiritual universe. And so, that raises questions. You have to ask, when you're looking out at these dramas in the news, on TV, on the radio, on the internet, you have to ask yourself, what universe is this? And if you catch the principle, remember we started with, we can't get God to work on our human affairs. There must be another principle involved. What is it? God is the only power in the spiritual universe. And there's only one universe. Ah, now you're beginning to see. You're on the right track. All right. So, on the next page here, who but God? God, who is the power of this universe, the creative, maintaining, and sustaining principle of this universe, who established the principle or these principles? So, God, he's hinting here, is the power of this spiritual universe. The creative, maintaining, and sustaining principle of the one spiritual universe. We have been looking at a false sense of universe, and then hoping that we can find the right words, the right prayer, the right meditation, the right affirmation to get God to do something about it. When God is in his perfect spiritual universe, God is as his perfect spiritual universe, and he sees nothing to heal. And so the question becomes, how do I see the spiritual universe? When I'm confronted with these pictures in the news, on the internet, how do I pray for my enemy? What's the correct way to see into the spiritual universe? How do I do that, since that's the principle involved? He says here, when you begin to live from the standpoint of one power or one universe, the entire tenor of your experience is changed. In the world, you are constantly confronted with the appearance of persons, places, or things of a destructive nature. And that's what we've been looking at, haven't we? And yet we were told to pray for this situation by the Master. There is always something which would attempt to destroy your peace. But the spiritually illumined of all ages have learned that these things are not power. The Master Christ Jesus had no fear of any earthly power, because he knew that there is only one spiritual universe. I have overcome this belief in the world, and now I am no longer in this belief in the world. He said that outright. I'm standing in the spiritual universe, but people were looking right at him, talking to him, touching him. He had a different awareness. He had a spiritual awareness, an awareness of the spiritual kingdom in which he was standing. He had an awareness of omnipresence. Is there power then in sin, disease, lack, limitation, death, weather, climate, infection, or contagion, or terrorists, or superpowers? No, he says, go back over it again. God is infinite power, the only spiritual universe. If it is true that God is one, and there's only one spiritual universe, then the only law there can be is the law of God. You see? Okay, look at the beginning again. If God is all-powerful, all-loving, why is he waiting for today to heal people, and why is he not doing it? There must be another principle involved in healing. What is it? That principle is to know aright that there is one spiritual universe. Not with your mind, that won't help you, but to actually glimpse it. Why should you fear disease or injury to the brain or movement of the stars. Why should you fear anything in heaven or on earth or in the waters beneath the earth if there is but one power operating? Well, then nothing else is power. If there is one spiritual universe, then nothing else is universe. You see why I want to call this one universe? One spiritual universe? As soon as you begin to understand the nature of God as one, one life, one being, one law, one cause, one spiritual universe, immediately it's brought to your attention evidence which would contradict that. The world points out material laws and laws of disease against the one spiritual life, age and death against eternality and immortality. But if you really understand God as one, you will perceive that in the infinite nature of God, there could be no power, no universe opposed to God. Okay? And down here he says, when this reveals itself to you, never again will you appeal to God to overcome error in any form. Never will you turn to truth, knowing some truth, to overcome error. Never will you use right thinking or affirmations to offset wrong thinking. Never will you pray to God to heal disease, sin, or fear, or inharmonious situations. In God's kingdom, or in the one spiritual universe, there is no such thing as truth over error, God over devil, good over evil, right over wrong, or spirit over matter. There is only infinite, immortal, eternal God being. Infinite, immortal, eternal spiritual universe. You see? There is a principle involved, and it has nothing to do with getting God to heal something. It has everything to do with you developing, how did he put it here? The development of this spiritual consciousness is my responsibility, and you will be correct. This has nothing to do with God, and getting God to heal this situation or flow into this universe and fix it. Those are all archaic ideas we're trying to outgrow. Which is why the Master said, learn how to pray for your enemies and do that. You want to follow me? Pray for your enemies. Well, how? I don't want to pray for this guy that's doing this, or this nation that's doing this, or this group that's doing this. I don't want to pray for these folks. Well, you're not supposed to. You pray amiss if you do that. That's not what he meant. What then? What? There must be another principle, and there is. That principle is to glimpse the infinite spiritual universe, the only universe, right where that picture appears to be, the one spiritual universe. Well, how do I do that? Well, he's going to tell you. A drastic change must take place in individual consciousness to enable the people of the world to cope with life and all its problems and look at evil, look at sin, look at disease, look at war, look at poverty and say, what is that to me? Thou couldst have no power over me unless it came from the one God, the one power, the one spiritual universe. Until you can realize that there is nothing to battle, because there's only one universe, you will be carrying a chip on your shoulders, fighting people, sin and disease, loneliness, poverty, false appetite, one condition after another, as long as you are fighting and resisting. But when you understand God as one, one power, one presence, one spiritual universe, then you become convinced there's nothing to oppose that spiritual universe. The only way this can be proved, when the appearance of sin, disease, death, lack, or limitation touches you, whether in your own experience, or in that of your friends or relatives, or people across the ocean, The only way to prove this is to sit in an inner stillness and realize that God is infinite. There's one spiritual universe. And then wait. Wait in quietness and in peace until an inner assurance comes. There is nothing to fear. It is I. There's nothing to fear. It's I, the one spiritual universe. Thou art my beloved child. There's nothing with which to contend. Okay, so we must have an inner experience. Yes, we must pray for our enemies. And we must do it in such a way that we see through that image to the one spiritual universe. He says, to do spiritual healing, it's necessary to be able to look any form of sin, disease, or barbarianism in the face with complete confidence. Neither do I fear thee, nor will I battle thee. Why should I fear what mortal man can do? Why should I fear what mortal things or persons or conditions can do? If God himself is the only law, presence, power, cause, substance, and spiritual reality or spiritual universe, then I will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, when you know that God is one, and there's one spiritual universe, and you know it by experience in your inner meditation, this then dissolves whatever mental images have been brought to your door. This is how you pray for your enemy. Now, if we skip over here two chapters to the chapter called What Did Hinder You, he gives you precise instructions on how to glimpse this spiritual universe. So listen up, because here it is. The command was pray for your enemies, and here is how. In spiritual healing, whether the claim is named Jones, Brown, Smith, ISIS, ISIL, USA, Great Britain, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Korea, leave them alone. Do not be tricked into treating persons or places. Get back to the substanceless substance to which you can give any name you like. Hypnotism, suggestion, this world, the false universe, mental images. It can be any name you want as long as you interpret it as meaning nothingness, no substance, no law, no cause, and no universe. When you really begin to comprehend that in healing you are not dealing with people, when you learn to eliminate them and the claims from your thought, and in every instance deal with the root of the problem, which is nothingness, you will find how quickly you will be able to become consciously aware of a spiritual universe. This universe cannot be felt until you are free of the barrier, and the barrier is the belief in two. Something apart from God. Yes, God and this group of people. The spiritual universe and this world. The minute you have made the carnal mind nothingness, you no longer have two powers. You don't have two universes. And you can do just what it says in Scripture. Rest. You can rest in the Word, waiting for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the hypnotism. You see, when it comes within you, in your meditation, it breaks the mental images. You see through them to the underlying spiritual universe. All right. He says, for years after I learned to recognize all forms of sin, disease, lack, limitation, depression, barbarism, brutality, any word you like, all of it was mesmeric sense or hypnotism. The puzzle was to discover how to break the hypnotism. Then I discovered that scriptural passage, which you will find throughout the writings. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Remember, how do you heal without using the mind? This all comes down to praying rightly, whether for the person next door or the person across the ocean, whether a so-called good person or an evil person. Praying rightly means to see through the person. Stand still. Rest. Rest in the word that there's one spiritual universe, and then let the stone be cut out of the mountain without hands. Let the realization be formed without your effort. Let consciousness, let the spiritual universe reveal itself. The weapon against error, our offense and defense, is something that is not physical or mental. No action, no words, no thoughts. Only the awareness of God. Now listen. As you carry this out in practice, praying for your enemy, like this, as you carry this out in practice, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, while you stand to one side as a witness or a beholder, eventually a state of peace will come. Then you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power, just God is. You begin to understand no power does anything to anyone, but you become a beholder as reality or the spiritual universe begins to appear. You see that? Is that not wonderful? It's wonderful. It's the exact instructions. The exact instructions. Do not battle error. Do not try to lop off rheumatism, consumption, cancer, or terrorism, or lack, or limitation, or bad economy, or bad governments. Do not try to change the appearance world. Get back. Get back. Back. Set aside any thought of the people involved. Go back to some term which means nothingness, so that you have one power, one spiritual universe. Then you can sit in meditation and you will feel the descent of the Holy Ghost. You will feel the peace that passes understanding. You will feel a divine presence, a release from this world, and a glimpse of the spiritual universe. You see? Is that not wonderful? It's wonderful. Now, in this book, which we'll probably do at a later date, called The Thunder of Silence, there's a wonderful chapter. We could do this whole chapter and add to this talk. And the chapter is called This is a Spiritual Universe. And in this chapter, he talks about misplacing his luggage on a trip to the Congo in Africa. And he didn't give it any thought. He went and he bought some clothes and some other articles. And he went on a tour of the Congo. And all the time, he was convinced that his luggage would show up, of course. And I'm sure he probably affirmed that and let it go. And yet when he got back, the luggage was still gone. And so, like the past couple of weeks' events have forced me inside to look for solutions, answers, this forced him inside. Because he got back and he still had no clothes and no luggage. his books, his money. I'm sure it was all in the luggage, and the luggage wasn't there. So the affirmation did no good. So he says here, we become very sure of ourselves and believe that we are going along in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, the hypnotism of human sense can make us think about baggage or the lack of it, or can make us think of governments or soldiers or terrorists or good groups or bad groups or barbarians or... The list is on, goes on and on and on. So he says, we become very sure of ourselves and believe we're going along in the right direction, and all of a sudden, hypnotism of human sense makes us think of these things. He says, my mistake was that I was sure the luggage would turn up, which is exactly like being sure, listen, that a person's heart is going to get well, or that his sick foot is going to get better. Okay, he already said in the art of spiritual healing, there must be another principle. God is not going to make this foot better. And so he says here, the principle upon which all our work is based is that of the real universe, as recounted in the first chapter of Genesis, in which God made all that was made, and all that he made is good. The spiritual creation is an incorporeal creation, and the proof of that is that there was light before there was sun in the sky. If you and I live and move and have our being in the spiritual universe, as set forth in the first chapter of Genesis, we can have everything we need without having baggage. What is he saying? He's saying, if you live in the spiritual universe, the real one universe, where one presence is, where one power is, all that you have need of throughout all of eternity is omnipresent right where you are. Now, and your glimpse of that kingdom is what makes it, well, your realization makes it real to you. And so there is another principle involved, and the principle is not getting God to work on baggage. The principle is to lift your vision to where you see omnipresence, an omnipresent spiritual universe. So he says, the sense world, that which we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, and view on the internet, is the unreal creation described in the second chapter of Genesis, a mental image in mind. Now, there's another name. You can call it hypnotism, mesmerism, a mental image in mind. If you remember that, we shall not try to manipulate the human scene or handle the mental image, which exists only as a shadow within thought. And then when we no longer try to handle that or get God to handle that, when we stand still as a witness, a beholder of the stone being cut out of the mountain without hands, then we shall be witness to the quick dissolution of the mental images. He flat out says here, there is no such thing as a material body. Okay, so again, we go back to the beginning. Which universe are you looking at and expecting God to fix and having heartache over? You're supposed to pray for your universe, your enemy. Pray for that universe. How? How? Through the steps that we just went over. Through seeing that that universe is a mental image, an image in thought. Mesmerism, hypnotism, world thought, carnal mind, any word you like that means nothingness. And then dismissing it, releasing it, and standing still. Father, reveal thyself. Reveal the spiritual universe. And if we have practiced these principles and we really believe that we're not dealing with a person or a condition, then we can rest in the Word. We can be so still that the spiritual universe in our midst begins to make itself apparent. It appears. It becomes real. We have a realization. So, there's no such thing as a material body, he says. There is only a material concept of body. There is no such thing as a material universe. So what universe are you looking at? There are only material concepts of the one spiritual universe. Isn't that wonderful? Again, why isn't God healing this? Why isn't this being healed? Why is he waiting? Which universe are you looking at? There must be another principle. It has nothing to do with getting God to fix it. There is another principle, and the principle is there's one spiritual universe. Or this is a spiritual universe. There's one spiritual power, spiritual presence. As long as we accept the material concept of universe, we are under the law of matter. So, if you accept these things that the eyes are showing you, because you have no spiritual awareness, no spiritual discernment, then you're living under the law, and anything can happen. Come up higher. Release that. There is another principle, and the principle is this is one spiritual universe. Catch a glimpse of that, and then you are under grace and you live by grace. We are free as soon as we begin to understand that we live and move and have our being in the first chapter of Genesis, where man is made in the image and likeness of God, or spirit. And that the soul of God is the soul of man. The life of God is the life of man. The mind of God is the mind of man. The body of God is the body of man. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Not the body as seen in the mirror, but as it actually is. To understand what body is, and what this universe really is to arrive at a realization that brings the solution. I live and move and have my being in God. I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. How can I be finite or limited if an infinite Father is within me? How can a finite, limited being have an infinite God within him? Therefore, I must be infinite. And as spiritual as the Father that created me. All being must be spiritual. And into this spiritual creation, this spiritual universe, nothing finite can enter or limit or create any sense of separation. On a cloudy day, the sun seems to be absent when it is merely hidden from our view. Just so the clouds of human belief and the density of human thought temporarily hide from us omnipresence, that which is present where I am. And what is it that is present where I am? All that the Father has is omnipresent. Nothing occupies time or space but our mental images. But the minute we rise above the mental realm, we shall perceive the one infinite spiritual universe. And then he goes into giving you another way, another meditation, in which you can rise above the thinking mind and and stand a little to one side and watch the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, or the spiritual universe appear. Now, we'll wrap this up today with one of my favorite all-time... It is the favorite all-time chapter of mine in the Bible. And that's, of course, John chapter 1. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this is the spiritual universe. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So, in this spiritual universe, all things are God expressing. But anything that was made that's not God expressing was not made by God. And so there's nothing to support it or sustain it or maintain it, because there's one spiritual life, one spiritual universe. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you're standing, again, we go back to the beginning of this talk. Which universe are you looking at? If you're looking at a universe of people, places, and things, then you cannot understand the light that's shining right now. The spiritual universe is. Now, he talks about the light which came. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. You see, when the Master stood before us and said, if you would follow Me, you must pray for your enemies, we had no idea what He was talking about. We weren't ready then. We're ready now. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, and that counts today, if you're able to practice this, if you're able to rise above this world, this false sense of creation, and glimpse the spiritual universe, then you are receiving Christ. If you're able to take His instruction and pray for your enemy correctly, then you are receiving Christ. And as many as receive Him, to them gives He power to become the sons of God. See, when you receive that Spirit in your meditation, you are given power to perceive the spiritual universe and to see that you yourself are God expressing, or the Son of God, which are born now not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, you have a rebirth. You're born of God. And the Word, says John, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's John looking into the spiritual universe. And he beholds the Word made flesh. That's the spiritual universe. Not matter made flesh, the Word made flesh. He's looking into the spiritual universe, and he's seeing the only begotten of the Father, the only thing God ever created. God itself expressing His grace and truth. And so, later in Revelation, he tells us exactly, and precisely, that he's looking into a spiritual universe, and he's seeing a new heaven and a new earth, and he's seeing a new Jerusalem, and he's seeing a new self, and he's seeing receiving a rock upon which is written a new name. Okay? So, in the past couple of weeks, looking at the appearances as they are unfolding, I had to ask myself, which universe am I looking at? And what is the answer? The Master made it very clear, pray for your enemy. How? How do you pray for an enemy like that? I don't care which side you're on, whether you're on the side looking at the evil empire called America in Great Britain, or whether you're on the side looking at the barbaric and brutal behavior of a small terrorist group. I don't care which side you're standing on. How do you pray for your enemy? And the answer is, you must see through them. You must have an inner experience which lifts you up into a glimpse of the one spiritual universe, one spiritual presence, one spiritual power. And standing in that, then you may say, Father, there is no one to forgive. There is only your presence revealed. This is how you set them free. To be reality. And then it is promised that within you the mental images are dissolved and you behold the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us be still now and do just that together. I am not going to try to heal or get God to heal a corruptible universe. There must be another principle. And there is. And the principle is to recognize that this corruptible universe, this is a dream. A dream in the collective human mind, the world mind, the mind that looks at a world. And so I'm not going to fix it. There's no God in it, and I cannot get God to come into it. It's a nothingness, not created by God, was not made by Him. What then am I here to do? I am here to release that, to stop working on that. I am here to be still, to stand still. To behold, to bear witness, somehow within here, by spirit, a stone is cut out of the mountain without my help. I am here to rest in the Word. There is one spiritual universe, one spiritual power. One spiritual presence. Father, reveal thy universe, the spiritual universe, which God made. Reveal the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, reveal thyself. And do you feel the omnipresence? Do you feel the movement of the spiritual universe, of spirit? If you do, then stay in it, feel it, know it, rest in it. God is being God. I feel it. The omnipresence itself of the spiritual universe. I in the midst of me. I am God. One spiritual universe. And to those of you who do not feel it, return again. Read the chapters that we reviewed today and come back and return again and again and again until you do feel it. Until you have learned how to follow the Master and become a child of the Most High, born of the Father. This is your spiritual universe, and you should live in it. Now, which universe do you behold? Behold, I make all things new. Feel it? Blessings.